several weeks ago when we last read from the Bhagavad Gita. We're reading in the fourth chapter, and we're reading the sequence of verses. The beginning of the fourth chapter, where Krishna explains the process of attaining transcendental knowledge. And that process is to hear in guru parampara, one after the other. So this evam parampara praptam imam vajrasya obadu. It's not that anyone can just speculate and with their own fertile brains come up with transcendental knowledge. Very good. Good sound. It sounds like some Gandharvas just descended. Very good. So, why is that? Why can't we understand transcendental knowledge, spiritual knowledge, with our tiny brains? And the reason is because our mind and intelligence and our words and our own potencies are limited within a specific sphere, of the material world. Is separated material energies. Our mind is composed of that, our intelligence is composed of that. Our intelligence and mind are in the material world, and they can't see beyond the material world. They can see within the material world to some degree. They can perceive and reason within the material world, but something beyond the material world is not possible for them to perceive. It's beyond their frame of reference, any more than when if we're grinding some wheat grains. We can understand something about the wheat grains. We can understand whether they're good quality or bad quality. But how can we understand from examining the wheat with our intelligence, how can we understand the nature of the person who grew the wheat, the struggles of his life, what his family is like, what his personality is like, what he does in the evenings, what time he wakes up in the morning, what he looks like, his particular taste, what kind of music he likes. How can we understand that from examining the wheat itself? We can understand something about the wheat, but we cannot understand about the person who grew the wheat. So similarly, we can understand something about the material world from the material world by examining it, but we cannot understand the one who is beyond the material world, the creator of the material world. For that we need a different process of knowledge. And the process of knowledge is called descending knowledge, parampara knowledge, where the knowledge begins with the person himself, the supreme person, with Krishna himself. So he explains this knowledge, evam parampara praptam imam rajasya vidu sakala neha mahata yogina saparantapa. He explains this knowledge in disciplic succession. And because Krishna says that this disciplic succession is broken, he will now explain it to Arjuna. And what is Arjuna's qualification for understanding this? Bhakto sile sakacheti. You are my devotee and you are my friend. You have a friendly relationship with me. You don't have enmity with me. You're not inimical or envious of the Supreme Lord, thinking that you want to become the Supreme Lord. If there's a very well-placed businessman who is very, very powerful and he knows how to manipulate the markets or whatever, so there's secrets in this. Will he tell those secrets to someone who is envious of him, who will try to knock him down from his position, even though he can't do it maybe? He'll try, he wants to occupy his position? No. He'll tell what he knows, secrets about himself, to his dear friend, one who was devoted to him. So, Bhaktosi me sakachiti rahasyam, because this is rahasyam. Rahasyam means what?
Secret.
Secret. Very confidential. Uttamam rahasyam yetad uttamam. This is the topmost of all secrets. So who is told the deepest, you can think about it practically, who do you tell the deepest secrets of your life and what you think? Who do you tell it to? Someone who you trust completely only. And who do you trust completely? Someone who loves you and who you love. And who's your friend, who's close to you, close in heart, Suridam Sagavutam. So then Arjuna asks the question, how did you tell this to the sun god? And because you're younger than he is. And Krishna then starts explaining transcendental knowledge. And the first part of knowledge is many, many births. You have passed, and I have passed, but Krishna says, Bhavanamevya Tittani, Janmani Tava Charajana. Many, many births you have passed, but you cannot remember them because you are tiny and you are insignificant, and you are under the control of my Maya Shakti, Daiviyesha, Gunamayi, Mama Maya, Dharatya. Under the control of the inferior energy or my Maya Shakti, you cannot remember how you transfer from one birth to the next, to the next, to the next, one body to the next, to the next, to the next, and you will have future bodies, but you don't remember these things. I remember we spoke about why we don't remember. One might think that it would be so much easier to believe that I'm not my body, that I'm an eternal soul, if Krishna gave us that remembrance that of our last bodies and previous bodies and hundreds of bodies, but we couldn't be aware of that. We couldn't have that in our consciousness. We would be too terrified by how many times we have been killed by lions, how many times we're insects and people went like that. How could we keep all that? How many times we've attacked others and ate others? How could we keep that in our consciousness? And it's already hard enough to sit down and chant Hare Krishna and keep the mind peaceful. But if just because our mind is filled with all the desires and fears of this life, what to speak of the desires and fears of countless other lives? So Krishna kindly doesn't allow us to remember those things, so we can concentrate on right now on what our mission of life is. But that doesn't mean they don't exist. As Krishna has already said, Dehenos Minyatade, Komanam Jovanam Jara, that just as we pass in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, in other words, there is a continuity, a continuation of identity. And all of us experience this. I was young, I was younger, and I was still younger, and now I'm a certain age. But I'm still the same person, and this is even true for you, I would imagine. Yes? You're still the same one. When your mother sees you, she thinks of you as a little boy. That's the way mothers are. But your body doesn't make a difference how old your body becomes. Your mother will always think of you as a little boy. So Krishna begins to explain the eternality of the soul, and at the same time the difference between himself, who is eternal, and ourselves, who are also eternal. Because Krishna angani asya sakalendriya vritti manti, that Krishna is his body. His body is spiritual, and our body is deteriorating, falling apart, and it is material. So Krishna, that's what Krishna says, that even though my body is eternal, still in the sixth verse, ajopisam, aja means unborn, avyayatma, that I am ever existing, without deterioration, still, sambhavami yatma mayama, I take my birth And every millennium, again and again, Krishna descends in this world. Why does he come? That's what he's going to explain. He doesn't have to come to this world. He doesn't have to advent himself. Like, we have to take birth. We don't have choice. But why he comes is explained in text 7 and 8. Verses that are very famous. Yada yada yidamasya dhani bhavati bharata bhutanam adamasya tatatmanam shijamyam then putranaya sadunam vinasya chadaskitam. Dharma samstapanatha, to re-establish the principles of religion. Yuge yuge sambhavamya, come. Yuge yuge, millennium after, I advent myself, I appear. And to paritranaya sadhunam, to give protection to the sadhus. Vinashaya chadaskrinam, to annihilate the duskritinas, the persons with malevolent consciousness. And then if one understands the nature of Krishna's, this is the glory of transcendental knowledge. Text 9 describes the result of understanding this. Say if you go to some IT, take some IT and get a BTEC or MTEC course, what you get some benefit. What are you studying? What are you studying? Aha, see? Why? Well, now we'll get really personal. Why are you studying MTEC? What is the benefit?
So that I can work in my chosen business.
Yes. So, and because, and why do you want to work? Because you want to get have a job and get some payment, etc., etc., and you're working in something you like. So we do things, that knowledge that you're getting, what you're doing, is getting knowledge, and there's a purpose of getting knowledge, a result of getting knowledge. So what is the result of knowing Krishna's position? And he explains it in the ninth verse, janma karma tame divyam. If one understands the divya, transcendental nature of Krishna's appearance, that he doesn't take birth like we take birth, and his karma, janma karma, his activities, but they're extraordinary. They're not under the control of the material energy. If one understands that what Krishna does is simply by his will, because he wants to, because he has his own purposes, he's not under the control of the material energy, just by understanding that, the nature, transcendental nature of Krishna's birth and activities, tattvata, in truth, actually understanding it, not thinking that Krishna was impersonal before, he was the great oneness, and then he comes down and is under the influence of sattva-gun. That's not understanding Krishna's position in fact, in truth, rather that's understanding it falsely. Because he's the controller. He's not under the control of his energy. So the result is tattva deham puna janma, when we take our next birth, if you understand, naitimam itihat, that no more taking a next birth. You're free from the material world just by understanding who Krishna is. Then in the 10th verse, even more than being free, if one is vita raga baya krodha, if one is free from rag, what does rag mean? Attachment. Baya?
Yeah.
And krodha, anger. Manmaya marupashita. And one has one's consciousness fixed on me, fully absorbed in me. Then, putta, madbhavamagata, one attains love for me, or one attains my abode. If one is free from the material shackles, the material chains, and has developed love for Krishna, then one will go to Krishna, if one's consciousness is absorbed in him favorably, anukulasya, with a favorable mood, then one develops love for him. Putta, being purified by being absorbed. And this is actually the essence of the Krishna consciousness process, to absorb one's mind in thinking about Krishna. Smartavya satatam visu, visu smartam najatu chit. Sarva vidhi, all the nishet, all the rules and regulations, itya eva kintala, serve this principle of absorbing our mind in Krishna with great affection. And if we absorb our mind in Krishna, it is so purifying. It is so purifying. And if we absorb our mind in the world of matter, we become entangled with so many desires. Jayato visya punksan sangas te sobhidayate. Whatever we absorb our mind in, this is the law, we become attached to. What do you think about that? What do you think about that, Keshav?
Ears are blocked. I can only hear a little bit.
Okay. What should we do about that? Why are they blocked? Do you have a cold or?
Sorry.
Really?
Can't hear.
What happened?
I don't know. I had.
When did it happen?
Flu, and then 1 week ear blocked. This morning I went to see the doctor.
What did he say?
They gave me some medication.
What kind? Antibiotics?
Later I have to go and see again.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it more peaceful?
At the airport it must be more peaceful. Can't hear.
Can't hear. Yeah.
The sound from back completely 100% I can't hear.
Mm. Heavy, yeah? Heavy.
Maybe.
When did you get the flu?
1 week.
And you were Are you thinking about Krishna though sometimes? And chanting? Because whatever we get absorbed, our mind becomes absorbed in, we become attached to that. What do you think about that? That whatever your mind becomes absorbed in, you become attached to. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm always thinking about Prashad and I'm very attached to Prashad.
But you're also attached to cooking it and serving it to others, not only eating. Also Keshav and Gopal, also attached to that. What do you think about that principle?
Yeah, this is true. I mean, you know, you do something, and you get absorbed in that.
You think it's a good principle?
If you use it in Krishna consciousness.
And what happens is you become attached to things that are not Krishna consciousness. So what's the conclusion, therefore? And how to get attached to Krishna is the big question. Chanting and hearing, associating with devotees, remembering. But that we should become attached to Krishna, and we should not become attached to the things of this material world, is an important principle. It's a heavy principle. That whatever we absorb our mind in, we become attached to it, and that will dictate our future. It's a heavy principle. Satatat bhava bharata. Sata, always true. Heavy principle. And because, why is it heavy? Why is it a heavy principle?
Because it's very, and we should be very truthful to Lord Krishna if we want to follow him. So our mind, our soul, which is belongs to Krishna, so we should follow his principles. So I believe in that.
But why is it a heavy principle? That's wonderful to hear. But why is it heavy, meaning weighty?
So it is very hard to follow.
Huh?
It is very hard to be very truthful to follow it.
Why is it hard?
Because it's a material world. Everybody needs everything for their life.
Okay. It's hard because we are consider ourselves in the material world, and we have attachment for things of this world. And why does one have attachment? Because we want to enjoy this world. So it's heavy because when I look at my consciousness and that my mind is attached to so many things that are going to cause me difficulty, then I think that some changes have to be made in my consciousness. And as Paul said, just by chanting, the consciousness becomes purified. But I have so much attachment to so many things in this material world, but the chanting, I don't have attachment. To daiva nidri samiha nanu jana raga. I don't have attachment for chanting, I don't have attachment for Bhagavad Gita, but I have so many other attachments. Don't have attachment for Bhagavatam, for Krishna's pastimes, as Caitanya Mahaprabhu and Vrindavan pastime, Dwarka Mathura. But I have so many other attachments, very dangerous position. So human life is meant to understand that we have these choices. What we should become attached to, what we should place our consciousness on. And it is weighty, because when we're young, we think we can just play around, and play and do this and do that, and nothing makes any difference. And then when we're older, we have to be dutiful and put our consciousness on our family life. And that absorbs all our consciousness, and we have so much attachment there. And then when we're older, old, then this hurts and that hurts and this hurts and that hurts and our consciousness is there. And throughout all this, we tend to neglect the fact that, as Krishna explained, we're eternal. And our consciousness is meant to be placed on Him. So that is why Prabhupada called his ISKCON, the internet, or he called the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, a society that is based on helping people become conscious of Krishna. And because whatever we place our consciousness on, we will become attached to it. So it's like saying the International Society for Attachment to Krishna. We want to develop our attachment to Krishna. And if we, Vitaraga Baya Krodha, become free from material attachments and manmaya marupashrita, absorb our consciousness in Krishna, we become attached to Him, and then putta madbhavam agata, we will attain love for Him by that process. So this is how Krishna reciprocates very fairly. Like you said, I should be truthful to this principle. Well, Krishna is truthful to this principle. He's so kind that whatever you want, whatever you become attached to, He'll send you there. Does that, when you think about that, does that make you happy or not happy? How does that make you feel? How does it make you feel?
Depends what you...
Depends what time of the day it is, what my mood is, whether I become happy with that one or very, very frightened.
Desperate?
Huh?
Desperate?
Yeah. Makes you feel desperate.
We are not happy at all. It's like the app and the carrot story. You think that I'll go there and then you reach there and you think so. Still have to.
But the thing is with the ass and the carrot, he never reaches there.
Yeah.
Just a little bit ahead. Then I'll get the carrot that I'm looking for. And meanwhile, he's getting the stick now.
Yeah.
But the carrot, later, he's thinking. So Krishna is very kind because he'll give you whatever you want. So therefore an intelligent person chooses what he wants. very carefully, very intelligently. So the most intelligent person just puts his mind on the spiritual goal and goes straight. But we who are a little less intelligent, we can put our mind on the spiritual goal, but maybe we have to go a little bit this way. But we never take our mind off the goal. Or maybe some go this way. But we, if we take off the mind off the goal, we go really in the wrong way. And then, problem. Big problem. So Krishna says, whatever you want, I'll give you. Yeyi tamam, 11th verse. Yeyi tamam prapadyante, tams tataiva bhajam yaham, mamuvart manavart. Everyone is on my path, the devotees and the non-devotees. We can't get anything by our own power independently. We are dependent on Krishna. It's very difficult for someone with false ego, ahankar, abhiman, to accept this point that we're completely dependent on Krishna. We can't do anything on our own. We can't gain anything on our own, just by our own power. Very difficult to accept this. That's why Krishna says, ahankara vimudatma kartaham. Bewildered by false ego, I'm thinking, I am the one who's doing it. Iti mandite, he's thinking like this, but actually, we're completely dependent on Krishna. No. Is that how we usually think?
No.
I don't think so. Like we go to the doctor, we cut our ears, and we become dependent on the doctor, but the doctor's medicine won't work unless Krishna makes it work, allows it to work. The ultimate point is the Supreme Lord. Are you driving a car?
Yeah.
Is it dangerous though?
No, it's okay. A good car.
You can hear the other people's horns? Little. You have to be extra careful, please. You still feel happy? And how is your chanting?
Chanting, so I can hear my voice.
But can you hear it extra? Special?
No.
Huh?
It's a prayer.
But your japa, can you hear it?
Yeah, I can.
Are you hearing it very well?
Yeah.
Extra well? Especially well?
No, yes, it's nice. I can't hear how much from outside now.
Yeah. Every curse has a blessing, and this is the blessing that comes along with this curse. How much we're distracted by the outside world. So Krishna says, if everyone surrenders unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects. I give people exactly what they want. Mm-hmm. Not more and not less. What do you think about that? Imtek, what do you think about that?
Yeah, next time I'll be very careful.
Oh, because we get us, especially you have to be careful who your friends are. Because when you're with, if you're with bad boys, they will fill you with all kinds of bad desires, and then bad things will happen. And if you associate with good boys, they will fill you with good desires. So that's the most important thing, association. Because we're all tiny and we're influenced. So to keep in good association is the main principle in Krishna consciousness, practically speaking. So then Krishna continues in this chapter called Transcendental Knowledge. Men in this world, this is text 12 in the fourth chapter. Men in this world desire success and fruit of activities. Yajanti iha devata. And therefore, when one wants material things and wants success in their activities, fruit of activities, therefore they worship the demigods, because this is a different way, a Vedic way of getting your desires fulfilled. If you don't want to turn to Krishna, you can turn to demigods. And this is the glory of the Vedic system. So one of the glories is that everyone, even if they weren't pure devotees, at least they would acknowledge that everything doesn't depend on me. I need the blessings from above, even of demigods. So at least they were turning and understanding they were tiny and insignificant. And I need the blessings of demigods to get what I want. But nowadays, everyone thinks it's just them. It's my power that I get everything from. And that's really darkness. It's really illusion, because in 1 second, half of that, that finger, everything can be taken away, and then where will our power be? So what Krishna is trying to do, he's giving Arjuna transcendental knowledge for what purpose? So that Arjuna will turn to him and take shelter of him. And this is the ultimate purpose of the Bhagavad Gita. Understanding that he is a servant of Krishna, and his constitutional position, his dharma, is to turn to Krishna and serve him and not think of himself as independent of Krishna. And then when he does that, with that Sharanagati, Sharanam Braja, Mamekam Sharanam Braja, then the result is that he can develop love for Krishna. Here's a question. If Krishna wants Arjuna to turn to him and understand that he can't do anything without Krishna, to see Arjuna's difficult position, he's on a battlefield. If he thinks, oh, Krishna's going to do everything, then what will happen to him on the battlefield? Fight, and he'll be saying Krishna has to pick up my bow, Krishna has to pull it back, Krishna has to put the arrow in. Like we say something, we say that Krishna is, you know, provides all the food and everything for us. But still we have to do something. We have to at least pick up the, if Krishna wants me to eat, sometimes in Vrindavan, the people from Delhi, You say, why don't you ever come to Vrindavan? So close. People come from all over the world to go to Vrindavan, and you don't go, and you're just 120 kilometers away. And, or less. And then they say, if Krishna wants me to come, then I'll come. But do they do that with their food? If Krishna wants me to eat, then the food will magically float up into the air and their mouth will magically open, and then, well, they have to do something. They at least have to go like this. The food won't come in, just automatically come in. So I always say to them, why don't you do it the other way then? Why don't you try to come and see if Krishna stops you? If he doesn't want you to come, then you can't come. Well, why don't you try to do your part? So similarly, we have to do our part. Some work must be there. But the point is that our work is not sufficient to get the result. But we still have to do our work. And sometimes Krishna gives us results without us doing our work. But yet, we should do our duty. And that's one of the main thrusts of the Bhagavad Gita, that we should do our duty, but ma paleshu kadachana, we shouldn't either be attached to the fruit of work, because it is, we should consider that the fruit is ultimately given by Krishna. So therefore, We should give to Krishna, the Lord, our Lord. And when we do that with love and devotion, that is wonderful. Not because we have to, but with love and devotion. Krishna is so kind. He's given me so much. How can I reciprocate with him? He's so kind. So there are other ways to gain success. So in the 12th chapter, Krishna's 12th verse, he's talking about just by worshipping the demigods, which is better than thinking, I'm doing everything, but it doesn't necessarily mean that one understands that the demigods are also dependent on Krishna. So men in this world